Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning and happy Easter. I know everyone's been looking for some good news, and so today is the day that you get some. Our Savior is victorious over Satan. He is victorious over the grave. He is victorious for you. Thank you for tuning into our service this morning, and I pray that it will be a blessing for you as we celebrate Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea.
Oh.
The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the festival of the resurrection of our Lord comes from Exodus, chapters 14 and 15. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh, and all his host, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night, without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them, into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces, and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels, so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses.
Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we continue confessing our faith using the words of the Small Catechism. This morning, we focus on the third article of the Apostles' Creed. What is the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I hope you guys are all having a good Easter celebration. I wondered how many of you got one of these this morning? Maybe not a pink one. Maybe you got a blue one or a green one or a yellow one. But we can use Easter baskets to help us remember what Jesus has done for us on Easter morning. You see, this Easter basket is kind of like our heart. And what is our heart filled with? Well, not really a bunch of good things. We have sin. And our sin, it causes us to do all sorts of naughty things, like sometimes we lie to our parents. That's not a good thing. Sometimes we'll hit someone. We don't want to hit or hurt anybody. Sometimes when our parents tell us to do something, we don't listen. And honestly, all of these sins that fill our hearts, and what they do is they make our hearts really heavy. Really heavy. And so what we need is we need Jesus to die for us. And so this is why we celebrated Good Friday just a few days ago. We thanked God that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And what did Jesus do? But he died on the cross and he covered over all of our sins with his blood. And you know what that means? It means all of your sins were washed away. You know what else it means? It means our hearts are empty. And it means that God now has the great opportunity to fill our hearts with good things. Were your Easter baskets empty this morning? I bet they weren't. I bet they were filled with things like
eggs, right? And only instead of thinking about eggs, let's think about the things that Jesus gives us, like forgiveness. And he gives us eternal life. And he gives us all sorts of wonderful things. He allows us to love one another. He allows us to be kind to one another, to be compassionate and merciful. And he gives us all kinds of good things, like parents who watch over us, and we have houses to live in. And you know what? God fills us up with all kinds of gifts. And then our hearts are full. And we have a happy Easter today because Jesus not only died for us, but he is able to fill us up because he came back to life. On the third day, on Easter Sunday, Jesus was alive for you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you took away all of our sins on your Good Friday cross. And just as you took those sins into the tomb with you, we thank you that you left them there and that you rose victorious over our sins on Easter Sunday. Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son this day, we ask that you would always help us to remember that you fill us up with good things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Throughout our lives, sometimes things happen that cause us to have grief. And a lot of times those things are completely out of our control. Obviously, there are some modern-day applications to that, but the truth is that this has been the case across all time. And if it's not even a widespread thing, at least in our daily lives, sometimes we have grief. And the hard part is that when we're in the midst of our grief, it's really hard to see through it because it's so apparent to us, it is so in front of our face that that's all we can focus on. And so our sermon text for this morning shares a much similar story. A story of grief, a blinding grief that prevents somebody from being able to see what is literally right in front of them. Our gospel reading we heard moments ago shared these words. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Mary is so quick to jump to conclusions, isn't she? She is so blinded by her grief that she doesn't really understand what is right before her eyes. She sees the stone rolled away. She sees that pretty plainly. And what does she immediately think? Well, Jesus' body is gone, which is true. And so she goes and she tells the disciples that his body is gone. But what she also adds, something that is completely untrue, is that Jesus has been stolen, that his body has been taken by somebody. And Mary didn't quite understand at this point, neither did Peter and John, but this is the conclusion she jumps to. A stone rolled away equates in her mind that somebody has stolen Jesus. The disciples, Peter and John, they run to the tomb, and what do they do? But they take a closer look. They kind of detective out what's actually happened here. And they look inside the tomb, and they see that the linen cloths have been folded up, right? The one that was on Jesus' face and the ones that were wrapped around his body. And you have to think to yourself, okay, if I'm a thief, I'm not about to take the body of Jesus, but before I go, I'm going to fold up these cloths and put them neatly around the tomb. Now, if I'm a thief, I'm going to take the body, cloths and all, and I'm going to hightail it out of there as fast as I can, because that's what a thief does. He takes the loot and he runs. And so upon looking through this, Peter and John, they realize that this could not have been a thief, but instead, Jesus has risen from the dead. Our text even goes so far as to say that they believed. Mary misses it all. She misses all the clues, all the hints. She doesn't understand what has happened. And even when she stoops in and sees the angels, she still doesn't quite get it. And when they try to tell her, she doesn't need to cry. She still misses it. And then when Jesus comes and asks her the same question, you know, "Whom are you seeking?" And granted, remember, Jesus didn't say, "What are you seeking?" as in a body, but "whom," as in I'm alive, I'm a person, and she still doesn't get it. Mary had good intentions that morning. She had good intentions to go and pay her honor and her respect to the dead Jesus. But that's the problem. Mary believed in a dead Jesus. She believed that Jesus was no longer alive. And what else should she have believed? But her faith died with Jesus on the cross, at least in the man Jesus. She believed in someone who was no longer with her, not a savior who would be with her forever. She was blinded by grief. But Mary's story is your story. And Mary's story is my story too. We jump to conclusions at the first sign of grief. And our grief blinds us to the realities that are literally standing right in front of us. Does it sound familiar? I mean, right now in our world, we're facing separation and social distancing and losses to our retirement portfolios and threats of disease and death and the uncertainty of what lies in the weeks ahead. And honestly, it causes a whole lot of grief. And what it does is it kind of blinds us. That's all we can think about. We've been inundated with report after report coming out of the news or post after post scrolling through our Facebook feed. It's easy to get lost in all of this grief. It's easy to get lost in this entire situation. In these moments, it's so easy for us to jump to conclusions. God's clearly left us. That's one conclusion that many people have jumped to. Or maybe God was never there at all. That's certainly another conclusion that people could jump to through this whole situation. We start to believe in a dead and buried God. Believe in one who never rose. It's so easy for the tragedies in this life to beat us down, to beat down our faith in such a way that we are blinded from the God who is literally standing amongst us. These hardships, they make us think that we have a Savior who doesn't intervene. Our tragedies and our grief, it makes us think that God doesn't care. But the truth is that nothing could be farther from the truth. And so on this Easter day, Jesus comes to shatter grief. What opens Mary's eyes? How does Mary finally recognize Jesus? But it's when Jesus spoke her name, Mary. And suddenly her grief fades away. Her tears dry up. Her mourning is turned into rejoicing, and her grief is no more. His words cause her to believe that he is alive. And indeed, he is standing right in front of her. My friends, on this Easter morning, God is calling your name too. In fact, he's promised that he would always be with you because he placed his name on you in the waters of baptism, and he called you by your name, and he put your name in his book of life. The waters of baptism not only connect you to Jesus' blood and death, they connect you to the forgiveness of your sins that is found in the resurrected Lord. Your baptism connects you to life everlasting, and it connects you to God's care both today and into all eternity. No amount of tragedy that befalls us, no amount of perceived grief can take that away, because the tomb is empty. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! It means all of your sins are forgiven. That same tomb that Jesus overcame, well, if he can overcome death, what can't he overcome? And the answer is nothing. There is nothing that God cannot overcome for you. That's an Easter promise that we would do well to remember. Because if we live and believe in that promise, our grief quickly fades away. I mean, our current tragedies, our current problems, our current suffering, they're only for a time. And sure, maybe another month, another 3 months, you know, maybe our suffering will go on, or maybe you have suffering that has been going on for much longer than what has afflicted the world at this moment. But the truth is that all grief, all mourning, all sadness, all sin, it's all temporary for those who believe in Jesus. Not just a dead Jesus, but a resurrected Jesus. Jesus is risen. It's not just a nice story, it's for real. And it tells us that there is life after death. And you too will be raised. You too will have all of God's good gifts. And because the resurrection grants all of this to you, then it also grants you strength. Strength to carry on in the midst of hardship. Even in the midst of isolation and sickness and death, because in the resurrection, we see with Mary that for God's people, great sorrow will always make way for great rejoicing. Just like with Mary, Jesus wipes away your tears. He gives you new hope, because the Easter gospel is this: Jesus has died and has risen for you. God grant that we never forget. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the prayer of the church. Rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and sharing in his peace, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of ourselves and all people as they have need. O risen Savior, set free our tongues to confess your resurrection before a world still captive to sin and death. Give us courage to go to every place and to speak in every language the salvation won for us upon the cross, and the hope granted to us of life that death cannot overcome. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, make us to burn with the fire of your love, that we may love you above all things, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Deliver us from fear, and relieve the anxiety of our hearts, that we may live out fully the hope planted within us and the new lives we received in the waters of our baptism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, anoint the words of those who preach to us your gospel and open our ears to hear with faith all that he has done to save us. Raise up many who will serve you in the various callings of your church and who will serve us in your name, with your word and gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of Donald, our president, JB, our governor, the Congress of the United States, and all state and local elected officials. Guide them according to your word, that justice may be given to all, and those most in danger may live freely and without fear of threat. Bless especially the lives of the unborn, lest they suffer for our shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of those who cry to you in any need, especially the sick, the suffering, the disabled, the wounded in spirit, those who suffer mental illness, and those in their last days on earth, especially remembering before you those on our prayer list and those we remember in our hearts. Give them grace according to their need, and sustain them in their afflictions to the day when their sufferings will be exchanged with glory in the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, before the words come to our lips, you know the desires of our heart. Hear our prayers as expressions of our trust that you supply us with all things needful and keep from us all things harmful. O crucified and risen Savior, with the Father and the Spirit, you reign as one Lord
and one God. Hear the prayers of your people. Your will be done, O Lord, now and always. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thank you. Once again, I thank you for tuning in today, and I wish you a blessed Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.